Shalom! I'm Eddie Chumniff, Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly yeshiva teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive the teaching by going to the ministry's website, www.hebroots.org, and click on the link, Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is in MP3 format, and you can subscribe to receive the teaching through an RSS feed, wherein the teaching will be automatically downloaded to your iTunes, where you then can put it on your iPod or your iPhone. And you can also go to the website and you can listen to it there on your computer, or you can download the teaching and you can put it on your computer where you can listen to it at any time. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded on the fundamentals of understanding the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we need to remember that we must keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because in Psalm, in chapter 40 and verse 7, it is written, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 7, that in the totality of Scripture, it is written of him. Then Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Therefore, Yeshua stated that the Hebrew Scriptures are written of him, that the Torah is written of him. In understanding how the Torah is written of Yeshua, we need to realize that it was Yeshua who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. And by realizing that Yeshua is our Savior and that Yeshua saves his people from their sins, we can also see that Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai by looking at a few New Testament scriptures. The first is Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 21, where it is written, "And she," referring to Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name in Hebrew Yeshua," which means salvation, "for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in Luke in chapter 2 in verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So Yeshua will save his people from their sins. Yeshua is our Savior. Now let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 12, the first part of the verse, where it is written, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that is able to save, who is Yeshua, because he saves his people from their sins, he is also the lawgiver, or the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Many Christians, when they hear the word Torah, they have a misconception regarding what Torah is and the meaning of the Torah. It seems that when Christians hear the word Torah, in their mind, they automatically start thinking about the way in which we are saved. Well, the Bible tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. But as an expression of being saved by grace through faith, we are to live our lives by following the Torah, which is the Word of God, and by living our lives according to the Word of God, we don't sin. And when we are saved by grace through faith, we are to seek to live a life that is pleasing unto the God of Israel. And so, because many Christians, when they hear the word Torah, somehow they think about and have a discussion regarding salvation, we want to affirm that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is the way in which the God of Israel brought his people out of Egypt. In Exodus in chapter 3, verse 21, it is written, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." The word favor is the Hebrew word chen. It is the Strong's number 2580 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it means grace. And so the grace of the God of Israel was present to deliver his people out of Egypt. However, grace alone was not enough to bring his people out of Egypt. It also required faith. And what was the faith that the God of Israel wanted his people to demonstrate? It was putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. In Exodus in chapter 12 and verse 3, the instruction was given to the children of Israel, "In the 10th day of this same month, you shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." In Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it." So why was putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost an act of faith? Well, first of all, faith is believing and acting upon what the God of Israel has said to you. And secondly, in the Egyptian culture, sheep were regarded as an Egyptian god. Therefore, it was not politically correct in the Egyptian culture to take something that would be regarded by some in the culture to be one of their gods and to kill what they view as their god and take the blood of what they view as their god and put it on the doorpost of your house. So we need to see then that the deliverance of the God of Israel's people by grace through faith is the way in which he brought his people out of Egypt. Therefore, it is a Torah concept that the New Testament affirms as being true. In Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, it is written, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, I want you to realize that once the children of Israel were delivered out of Egyptian bondage by grace through faith, then they came to Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai they were given commandments regarding how they were to live their lives on a daily basis to please the one who brought them out of Egypt. So in Romans in chapter 3 in verses 28 through 30, Paul explains that both Jew and non-Jew are justified before the God of Israel by faith without the deeds of the Torah. Romans chapter 3 verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the Torah." Then Paul asks a question in Romans in chapter 3 and verse 31. "Do we make void?" Make void means to do away with. "Do we make void the Torah through faith?" Or because we are saved by grace through faith. Paul answers the question and says, "God forbid." God forbid what? God forbid that we make void the Torah through faith. Yes, we establish the Torah. So, in establishing the Torah, what is Torah? Well, Torah is the Strong's number 8451 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. And the Hebrew word Torah comes from the Hebrew word Yirah, the Strong's number 3384, which means to teach, to instruct, to lay a foundation, to point out as aiming the finger. Therefore, Torah means the teaching or the instruction of the God of Israel. And biblically speaking, the Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. In the mind of many Christians, they separate Torah from being the Word of God. Because if you would ask most Christians holding up one's Bible and say, do you believe that we should follow or obey the Word of God? They would say yes. But if you would ask them, do you believe that we should follow or obey the Torah? They would say, well, no. Well, the fact that they answer yes to obeying the Word of God, but no to following the Torah, it must not be to them one and the same thing, or they would answer the question consistently. But I want to show you biblically that Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it is written, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Notice the parallelism, that doing his commandments is hearkening to the voice of his word. Psalm 119, verse 16, it is written, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So his word is the same as his commandments, which is the same as his statutes. In Isaiah, in chapter 1 and verse 10, it is written, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the Torah of our God, you people of Gomorrah. So the word of the Lord is parallel with the Torah of our God. And then in Isaiah in chapter 2 in verse 3, the last part of the verse, it is written, he will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. So his ways is also his paths, which we are to walk, meaning live our lives accordingly. It says, for out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is parallelism, that Zion is the same as Jerusalem, and the Torah is the same as the word of the Lord. Isaiah, in chapter 5, verse 24, the last part of the verse, it is written, because they cast away the Torah of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And so the Torah of the Lord is the same as the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, we can see that the Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. Yeshua called the Psalms the Torah. In John chapter 10, verse 34, Yeshua answered them, is it not written in your Torah, I said you are gods? Well, you will not find that quote in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. The quote is from Psalm chapter 82 and verse 6, where it is written, I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So Yeshua called the Psalms Torah, because the Psalms contain the teaching and the instruction of the God of Israel. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, calls the book of Isaiah the Torah. In that verse, it is written, in the Torah it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, will they not hear me, says the Lord. Well, you will not find that quote in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. It comes from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, which says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. The Torah is written about Yeshua. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, Yeshua says, "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the Torah of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." In John chapter 1, verse 45, it is written, "Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the Torah and the prophets did write, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Next, Yeshua said in John chapter 5, verse 46, "For had you believed Moses, or believed what is written in the Torah, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." And then Paul, in witnessing of Yeshua, says in Acts chapter 28, verse 23, "He expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the Torah of Moses and out of the prophets." So Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. The Torah is the same as the commandments, the statutes of God, which is the same as the Word of God, and the Torah is written of Yeshua. Yeshua followed the Torah. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "Do not even think the thought, think not, that I've come to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This phrase, to destroy and to fulfill, is a Hebrew idiom. Yeshua is saying that he came to correctly teach how the Torah is to be followed, and that is fulfilling the Torah. But when you do not follow the Torah correctly, and you falsely instruct someone else how to follow the Torah, you are in effect destroying the Torah. So, in understanding scriptural interpretation, there are four primary levels to understanding scripture. These four levels are, first, the Peshat. The Peshat is the literal meaning of the text, or the simple meaning of the text. The next level is Remez. Remez is hint or alluding to something. The third level is Darash. Darash means drawn out, and it's from the same root as Midrash. Midrash means from the Darash. And an example of Darash are parables. Then we have the fourth level, which is the Sod. And the Sod is the deepest level. It is the heart meaning of the text. And the heart meaning of the text is the true meaning of the text. And this is the spiritual meaning of the text. Now, if we take the four Hebrew words for the four primary levels of understanding scripture, that is the Peshat, the Remez, the Darash, and the Sod, we take the first letter of those four Hebrew words, and we have a Hebrew acronym, and we have the word Pardes. And Pardes in Hebrew means an orchard or a garden. And in order to see the fullness of the text, which is like being in a garden or an orchard, you need to see the text at all four levels to see the ultimate meaning of the text. And in the book, From Exile to Redemption, written by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, volume 1, page 158, he explains that it's the Sod level, the heart meaning, the spiritual level of the Torah, is what reveals the Messiah. And he explains in that page of the book, the Sod is the mystical dimension of the Torah. And the coming of the Messiah is the revelation of the innermost or the mystical dimension of the Torah. And so let's look at Yeshua, which means salvation, the name of the Messiah. And let's look at his name and derive the meaning of his name at the Sod level. And we're going to take the Hebrew letters in the word Yeshua, and we're going to look at the Hebrew letters from left to right. And Hebrew is a picture language, and each Hebrew letter has an ancient or historical pictograph meaning. And so in the word Yeshua, it is spelled Yod, Shin, Vav, Ayin. And we're going to take these letters left to right and come up with a Sod meaning of Yeshua. So the first letter we're going to look at is the Ayin. And the Ayin is also the Hebrew word for eye. And so the meaning of it is to see. And then the next letter is Vav. And Vav in Hebrew means and. It also means a nail or a hook. And then the Hebrew letter Shin is the letter that is used to represent El Shaddai. And the Yod in Hebrew means hand. And so putting this together, we take the Ayin, the Vav, the Shin, and the Yod, and the pictograph meaning of Yeshua, taking the Hebrew letters from left to right, is see, Ayin, the nail, Vav, in El Shaddai's hand, the Shin and the Yod. The name Yeshua at the Sod level in Hebrew means see the nail in El Shaddai's hand. Now, in the art scroll of Genesis, this is an Orthodox Jewish published book, and Bereishit is the commentary on the book of Genesis. In the introduction on page 43, they explain that in creation, the Torah, which is eternal because it's the Word of God, assumed a physical nature, just as the soul clothes itself in a human body to assume earthly life. This is the message behind John in chapter 1 in verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And speaking of the Word, it says in John chapter 1 verse 14 that the Word was made flesh. So Yeshua is the living Torah, or he's the living Word of God. And so the Word, or the Torah, became flesh. In the book Anticipating the Redemption by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, volume 1, page 44, referring to Numbers chapter 19, verse 14, he explains that the Torah is like a man. This is the Torah, a man, the text says. So Rabbi Schneerson explains that the Torah resembles man. Let's see how the sacred name of the God of Israel, which is often pronounced Yahweh, which is spelled Yod, He, Vav, He. Let's see what Yahweh means at the Sod level, the deeper meaning. And so we'll take these letters and we will arrange them vertically. And in doing so, the Yod is going to resemble a head. And then the He, in seeing how the He is written in block letters, it's going to look like shoulders and arms. And then the Vav is going to look like the midsection of a human being. And then finally, the hay is going to look like the waist and the legs. So writing yod hey vav hey vertically, it resembles a man, in the yod being a head, the hey being the shoulders and the arms, the vav being the midsection, and the final hey referring to the waist or the legs. In the Sanchino Midrash Rabbah, volume 1, page 534, the rabbis teach that the Torah has 70 facets, or there are 70 dimensions to the Torah, interpreting the Torah, and understanding the Torah text. In what ways is the Torah or the Word of God communicated or taught in the Bible? Well, one of the ways is through parables. And Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4, Mark 4, verses 10 through 13, refers to this. And then, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, and verse 14, the Torah is taught through deep or dark sayings, which is a reference to the mysteries of the Torah, or the sowed level and understanding of the Torah. And then the Torah is also taught through spiritual blueprints or shadows. And in Exodus, in chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, the God of Israel instructed Moses to build the tabernacle after the pattern that he was shown. And then in Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 10 through 12, speaking of the temple of the Messianic era, it says in Ezekiel in chapter 43, verse 10, show the house to the house, and show them the form of the house, the fashion of the house, the going out, the coming in, and all of the ordinances. And it says to do so according to the pattern. Let's see how the Torah is taught in parables. In Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 and 2, it is written, give ear, O my people, to my Torah. The subject is giving ear to my Torah. Then it says in verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. Give ear to my Torah, I will open my mouth in a parable. So the Torah is taught in parables. And in Matthew, in chapter 13, verse 34, it is written, all these things spoke Yeshua unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Now we're going to look at Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 8. And here we're going to see that the Torah is taught through dark sayings. It says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So a proverb is a word of the wise, and it's a dark or a deep saying. Then in verse 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, forsake not the Torah of your mother. So a proverb, a word of the wise, a dark saying, which is the instruction of the Torah. Next, in the book, From Exile to Redemption, Volume 2, page 10, by Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, he explains that the Messiah will teach the sod of the Torah. Messiah will teach all of Israel the mystical depths of the Torah and the reasons hidden within the Torah, which will be revealed in the future time. So take this principle or this concept and realize, it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Yeshua was asked in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, by his disciples, why do you speak in parables? And he answered, said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries, that's the sod of the Torah, which is the words of the wise. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In other words, those who do not have a heart or an ear to be instructed in the ways of the God of Israel, they will not understand. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 7, Paul explains, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or the wisdom of God, which is a word of the wise, which is communicated in parables or a proverb, is the deeper meaning of the text. It says, even the hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and verse 10. We speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, meaning those who are whole or those who are complete, those who have spiritual maturity, which would be the wise, yet not the wisdom of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. But God has revealed them what? The deep things of God that are communicated in a mystery. He's revealed them. They're not unknown. He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So in this, we can see that it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us and instructs us regarding how we are to follow the Torah, as Yeshua explained in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Next, we're going to see that the Torah is taught through blueprints or shadows. In Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, it is written, let them make me a mikdash, a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And then we're told that once the tabernacle was built, when it was completed, Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, referring to the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness, it is written in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, that it was a blueprint or a shadow of the true tabernacle in heaven. It is written, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the temple. For see, says he, that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you in the mount. Now, seeing that the Torah is taught in blueprints or shadows, the tabernacle that the children of Israel built in the wilderness, it points to the true tabernacle in heaven. And when the cloud filled the tabernacle in the wilderness, it was a prophetic foreshadowing of the glory of God that is present in the heavenly tabernacle. And the glory of God is Yeshua. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, in the city, referring to the New Jerusalem, had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light. The temple is the house of Yeshua. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, it says, and when Yeshua went into the temple of God. And then in verse 13, he said unto them, my house. So the temple Yeshua called my house shall be called the house of prayer. And he was quoting from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, where it is written, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." In Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10 and verse 12, we are instructed that we are to teach the Torah of the temple, because the temple is outlined in blueprint and in shadows, and it teaches us of Yeshua and of the ways of the God of Israel and the ways of his kingdom. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 10 and verse 12. "Son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, and let them measure the pattern." Show the house, that is the temple, to the house, that's the people of the God of Israel, and do it according to the pattern. Ezekiel 43, verse 12. That is the Torah, or the instruction of the house, is to show the house to the house. Now, the temple is also the throne of Yeshua. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 5 and verse 7. "So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house," referring to the temple. "And he said to me, Son of man, the place of my throne, in the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." So Yeshua calls the temple the place of his throne. And believers in Yeshua are his house. Those who believe in him are a part of his body, or his house. In Hebrews, in chapter 3, verse 6, it is written, "In Messiah as a son over his own house. Whose house are we?" 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are." That is because of the principle from Numbers chapter 19, verse 14, that the Torah resembles a man, or is likened to a man, as Rabbi Schneerson explains in his book, Anticipating the Redemption, Volume 1, page 44. And furthermore, seeing that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, "In what concord has Messiah with Belial," or Baal? "In what part has he that believes with an infidel? In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, Yeshua is the goal of the Torah. The Torah points to him. And so when we follow the Torah, we see Yeshua, and through the Torah is how we are to express our faith in him. In Romans, in chapter 10, in verse 4, it is written in the King James, "For Messiah is the end of the Torah for righteousness to everyone that believes." And the way this is written, it puts forth the impression that Messiah did away with the Torah, meaning he ended the Torah. He's the end of the Torah. But if we look at this in the Greek, the word "end" is the Greek word telos. And it is the Strong's number 5056 and the Strong's Greek Dictionary. And telos means a definite point or goal, the thing that which is aimed at, or the purpose of a thing. And to give you an understanding of the meaning of telos, if you had a bow and an arrow, and you are shooting your arrow and you're wanting to hit a target. Now, generally speaking, you are trying to hit the target, but specifically, you want to hit the bullseye of the target. So when you shoot that arrow and when you hit the bullseye, did that arrow come to the end of itself, or did the arrow hit the goal or the target in which it was aimed? And so in one way, yeah, it's the end point of the destination of the arrow, but the end point is the goal or the target. And so this verse should be properly rendered that Messiah is the goal or the aim or the purpose of the Torah for righteousness to everyone that believes. In other words, walking in righteousness, living a holy life, being obedient to the God of Israel, for those who believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, that the aim is to follow his Torah. That is because Yeshua gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In James chapter 4, verse 12, it says there's one lawgiver who is able to save. And in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, it is written, the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So the one that will save us is also our king. The one that saves us is our judge. The one that saves us gave the Torah. The judge is our king. The judge gave the Torah. Our king is the judge. Our king saves us. And our king gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. Well, it says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, that we all will appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. He is our judge. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says Yeshua is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you will call his name Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins. And so, because Yeshua gave the Torah, the way we express our faith in him after being saved by grace through faith is following his Torah by his Spirit. Yeshua said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in saying these words, he was alluding to or referring to, this is Remez, to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And Exodus 20 is the chapter on the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the one that gave the Torah said these words at Mount Sinai, that I show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So Yeshua is making a remez, a reference to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. And by making a reference to Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, that he's also linking himself to the context of that verse. And the context of that verse is the one that is speaking is Yahweh Elohim, who brought his people out of Egypt. So Yeshua is Yahweh Elohim, who brought his people out of Egypt, and the one that brought his people out of Egypt gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, and the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai said, I show mercy or grace unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And so in 1 John in chapter 2 verse 6 it is written, he that says he abides in him, he that says that he is a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives even as he walked. If we are to walk as he walked, how did Yeshua walk? Did he follow the Torah? Yeah. Did Yeshua keep the biblical Sabbath? Yeah. It says in Luke in chapter 4 And verse 16, it says he came to Nazareth. And where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So Yeshua kept the Sabbath. Did Yeshua and his parents keep Passover? Yeah. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and verse 42, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And Yeshua kept Passover up to the last day of his life on this earth at his first coming. In Luke, in chapter 22 and verse 15, Yeshua said to his disciples, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." So, if we walk as Yeshua walked because we love him and keep his commandments, if Yeshua kept the Sabbath and it was his custom, we are and should keep the same Sabbath that Yeshua kept. And if Yeshua kept Passover, then we should keep the same Passover that Yeshua kept. And when Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, he is going to require all nations, when he sets up his kingdom, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah in chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. "And it will come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations that came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." And when Yeshua sets up his kingdom, he's going to be teaching the Torah to all nations. In Revelation in chapter 19, when it refers to Yeshua's second coming, it says in verse 15, "And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he will rule them," that is the nations, "once he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, with a rod of iron." And iron in the Bible speaks of judgment. And it's a reference to Isaiah in chapter 2 and verse 3. In Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, we're told that it will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. So we're told that all nations are going to come to Jerusalem during the Messianic era. And it says in verse 3, "Many people shall go and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths." His ways is his paths. His ways and his paths is how we are supposed to walk. That means to live our lives. And how are we to walk? "Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." In verse 4, explains how he's going to rule with a rod of iron. "He will judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." So when the Torah is taught to the nations will not be at war with each other. And this will be the healing of the nations. Revelation in chapter 22. And referring to the New Jerusalem, it is written, "In the midst of the street of it," this is Revelation 22:2, "on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The Torah is described as being a tree of life in Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 1 is the subject. My son, forget not my Torah, let your heart keep my commandments. So we can see here that the commandments and the Torah are synonymous terms. And it goes on to say about the Torah or the commandments. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all of her paths are shalom. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. And so a Torah scroll is likened to a tree. And when you open up the Torah scroll, you're going to grab it by its handles, and the pages of the Torah scroll are referred to as being leaves. The leaves of the tree, the pages of the Torah scroll, is for the healing of the nations. And so we can see from our teaching today that the Torah is written about Yeshua. Torah and the Word of God are synonymous terms. Yeshua referred to the Psalms as being the Torah. Paul referred to Isaiah as being the Torah. The Torah is taught in parables. It's taught in blueprints. And the Torah is taught in shadows. There are four primary levels of the Torah: the Peshat, the Remez, the Darash, and the Sod. And while there's four primary levels, the rabbis teach that there's 70 facets to the Torah. And when we understand the text at its four primary meanings, then it's like being in the Garden of Eden. And the Sod level, the Torah, reveals the heart of the Torah, the true meaning of the Torah. But even so, the way that you understand the heart of a human being is first getting to know them externally. And by getting to know them intimately, you get to know their heart. You have to go through the literal text in order to see the heart meaning of the Torah. And in the heart meaning of the Torah is where Messiah is revealed. And it is the heart meaning the Torah that the Holy Spirit teaches us, leads us, and guides us in how we're supposed to follow the Torah. So I pray that the teaching has been a blessing to you. And remember that Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your tithes, your love gifts, and your offerings. And so if these teachings, if the ministry is a blessing to you, we would encourage you to support the ministry by writing to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. And the ministry has an extensive website to help you learn the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we have tabs at the website that categorize the learning of your Hebrew roots into different subjects. And we have not only written, but audio and video teachings there to help you in your studies. So we encourage you to go to the website and take advantage of the resources that are there. And while you go there, make sure that you click on the web store of the ministry, because Hebraic Heritage Ministries offers many materials that will help you in your studies. And by ordering from the web store, we will be able to help you whether you want to learn from books, CDs, or DVDs. Now, remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says He abides in him. Hugh says he's a believer in Yeshua. As the Messiah ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his Father. Even so, he commanded those who believe on him, if you love me, keep my commandments, or follow Yeshua's Torah. Until we share with you the next week's Yeshiva teaching, Shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.